$5 a month.
Who does she not know?
Can we all just take a minute and appreciate the fact that Jean got back on the call that she dropped without any help? Like, hey. Happy 2020, Jean.
2020. Yeah. Crushing it.
Stacey was asking who Anderson Cooper was.
Oh my God, you gotta love him. Like,
oh, he's the best.
He's so
and he was co-hosting with Andy Cohen, and they're like best friends. Yeah. So like Anderson Cooper would do something like stupid because he was drunk, and Andy would give him like little look, and he would totally call him out when he like fucked up saying something or like did something stupid. Yeah. I was like, oh, they're bitchy friends like we are to each other. And pointing out each other's flaws and stuff.
He's being zacked.
Yeah. Totally doing it.
I love it.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the weekly wind down special episode. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2020.
This is 2020.
Wah, 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 wah.
Wah, 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 wah.
So sad. It bums me out. It really does.
Why?
What does?
Hey. Barbara Walters. Because everyone was like, why didn't they just have her on there? And so I Googled it. And Barbara Walters has like really, and this is going to be a bad way to start the podcast. I'm so sorry.
But she's please got continue. Like, yeah.
Very advanced dementia. And
she does?
Yeah. I Googled it because I was like, why is she not on there? That seems kind of weird. And she's like 90. And I was reading that she's pretty much like bedridden or like wheelchair bound. And she gets very confused, like, when people try to visit her. Like, Whoopi Goldberg tried to visit her, like, 2 years ago. And she didn't know who she was and got really upset and agitated. And
she probably like, thought a ghost was haunting her.
Man, Dempsey, you just ruined all of 2020 for us.
Way
already.
Way to go, Dempsey. Yeah.
Day one.
I could redeem her. I could redeem her with my story. The Please. Pope. Yes. Lost his temper and bitch slapped some woman in the line who wouldn't let go of his hand. Yes. That was fantastic. She held his hand, wouldn't let go. He's trying to yank his hand free, so he takes his other hand and he slaps her, just like a little kid who touches a hot stove.
Oh my hilarious. God, I love it. She That's such him. A mood.
She grabbed him very aggressively, though.
Well, yeah, he was, like, going to shake her hand, and she just wouldn't let go of his hand.
That papal slap heard around the world.
How do best. We get someone to bitch slap Trump?
Look, you would have a lot of people who would line up for it. It's just the Secret Service won't let us. I mean, them.
His mouth looks like such a butthole that I'm afraid my hand would just get sucked into it. Yeah.
That was not an image that, like...
Yucky.
Sorry. Yucky. New year, new president.
Yep. Yeah. I could get on that bandwagon.
Oh, let's shit. Hope.
So who here's hungover?
Oh, I'm not.
I'm not.
No one? Not. God damn, we're all old. We're not hungover on New Year's like that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. Are we not hungover because we're just super great at drinking, or are we not hungover because we didn't drink that much?
We didn't drink that much.
I date
just because I'm super good at drinking.
I drank, though. So I had like 5 gallons of beer during the day yesterday, so yeah. I met my quota.
I had my watermelon hungover. Vodka, so I...
Watermelon potato wine?
Yep.
Ah.
I did it.
That's
you know
how Gina
smarts
the system all the time. She day drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is very smart.
No, I had like half a glass of some sparkling rosé at midnight just so I could feel like I was doing it big. But really, I just DoorDashed queso from Chili's and then was upset about my period.
Yeah. Gene's like the drinking baby Yoda. Not hungover, I am.
When in 2020, I'm going to be more like Jean. Look, I even got glasses to start.
I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a good person to be like, for
the
sure.
If you start drinking 5 gallons of beer, I
pooped a lot yesterday. Does that count? I'm there already.
You know, I didn't start recording that part
that
of the
is
conversation
also
to save you, but.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm trying to be like Gene.
Well, you're doing a bang up job.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
So, besides being the first day of 2020, today is also the release day of Spellbound. Which is why we drug everybody on to the podcast tonight.
Yeah, kicking and screaming. Yeah.
I'm
so sure.
Yeah. So, Spellbound is a book that Jean and I wrote together that I know our listeners know about because we've been talking about it incessantly for a year now. It is officially out and it's getting really good reviews. So we thought we would do a quick kind of question, answer, talk about it kind of thing together, kind of what our thoughts are going forward on it, to bring in the new year and its baby book birthday.
Yay.
Love it.
Oh, it's a new little baby book.
And it's so cute.
I love it. I finally have a baby mama on one of my baby books.
Now, did you guys have it naturally?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we
solid
did.
Choice.
Well, there was a lot of drinking involved, but
yes.
That's and, what and, usually happens.
Right. That's how a lot of babies come about.
Yeah. There was a lot of drinking involved and a lot of comma debates and.
Oh man.
Well, the there's no debates. I put commas in, Jean takes them out. That's
Jackie's nickname during writing this was the splicer.
Oh. I've gotten better.
Yeah, you have. You really have.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the crash course in GCLS.
I was going to say, and we should have saved that. Maybe it's on Marco Polo somewhere and we can post it. So everybody can learn about commas because Jean gave quite the, oh, you might've been FaceTiming though. Jean gave quite the lesson on commas.
She did.
I had lemon drop after lemon drop and I was in my element. Grammar and alcohol that's my bag.
The problem with the lemon drops is that they were not like legit lemon drop martinis. They were like a shot version of a lemon drop in a martini glass.
So that's a problem?
I mean, no.
No, but when you can't taste the alcohol, it just gets you.
I
don't think you struggled with them too much. I don't remember you being sober. In fact, I think you were the opposite of sober.
I mean, yeah, I never struggle with the alcohol. The next morning when I wake up and go, what the fuck happened to me?
We learned about commas.
We did. Too bad I don't remember most of it.
Damn, we are old.
You just put them when you want it.
We're hella
old. You just put
them
in when you want to pause, right, Jean?
That's what I thought.
Well,
no, she's talking with you, Jean.
There's
don't
a little bit. Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Don't get my hackles up on day one.
I mean, are you an Oxford comma girl?
I was never Oxford comma till I started publishing with Bold Strokes. Then I had to become one.
I love an Oxford comma.
I almost got you a shirt that said Oxford comma appreciation club. It's yeah.
Like the president.
It was like established in 1862 or something. It was real cool. Yeah.
I enjoy the Oxford comma. I mean, I like it. I enjoy it.
That's what I do now.
I like the Oxford comma too.
Help. It does
help. And we're old.
Yeah, we're talking
and
about.
And we're nerds.
Whoa.
So the word nerds are the best.
You talk about like it's the new year. You talked about this being a baby. We know how like physical babies are made, but like how did you guys come up? Like how did this little baby book come to fruition?
Yes.
So I approached Jean.
I'm going to be the moderator today. And
it's
you're
about
gonna
fucking
answer
time
the-
someone else did it. I had actually had this idea to write. The paranormal genre was like the last genre that I hadn't written in. And I like to genre hop, much to the dismay of some of my readers. And so I kind of had this like idea bubbling around in my head about a shadow hunter and witches and stuff like that. So I had just read the second wave that Jean had written and If you guys haven't read that yet, Jean is super funny. Like real, like the Jean you see on here is the Jean in her books. So, or here on here, I guess is a more appropriate term. And we had met a few times at like Provincetown and stuff for Women's Week, and we got along real well. And then we'd had her on the podcast, I think once or twice before that too. So I was like, I think I want to, one of the other things I hadn't done was written a book with someone. So I called her and asked her if she was interested in doing it with me. Writing a book, I mean.
Hell! That's how you make a baby!
Always
she
ask-
just said, do you want to do it with me? And then you had a baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. I think I yes. drove up, we more brainstormed a little bit, and then did we submit our proposal to Bold Strokes and then I drove up there, or was it the other way around?
I don't remember. I think we might have submitted it before and mm-hmm. then you drove up.
Yeah.
Because you came up in November. Women's Week was in October. Sandy like said, you guys better get that proposal. So I think we did it and then you came up.
Yeah. So then I went up and spent a few days with Jean and we drank beer and wrote some and then the rest of the time we worked on via Skype or just sending, I would write a chapter, send it back to Jean. She would write a chapter, send it back to me. And we predominantly wrote, like I predominantly wrote, and I keep seeing in the comments about it, who wrote which parts of what. people are trying to figure it out. My predominant characters were Raven and Hazel, and hers were Sarah and Ayatunde, but we each wrote overlapping. So sometimes I wrote Sarah and Ayatunde and she wrote Hazel and Raven. We both worked on Morgan. We both worked on the bad guys. So yeah. It was just kind of, if one of the characters needed to be written in at a certain part, whoever had the manuscript at that time kind of did it. The only time I would send it back to Jean and be like, I turn this into Puritan talk because I don't know how to speak like that. And Jean does. So that's so it's hard for people to find what we wrote and what, because we both really kind of wrote the entire thing.
Yeah. And yeah, total overlap.
I think it's pretty cool too, though, because I don't think that is normally how it happens. I mean, but I feel like the last couple times I've heard about people writing books together, they like pick a specific character and write only that character.
Yep.
So I think it's really cool how you guys mm-hmm. did that. And it flows very seamlessly. It's really, really, really good.
I think it just shows like such a higher level of like your guys' ability. The fact that you can do that, like you don't have to say just like split in certain characters, that you can seamlessly like take over other characters. Like,
I think it speaks really highly of your own voice too, and how like you're able to like put forth your voice in the character so well that like Jackie, like Jean, you could do that so well that Jackie could pick it up very seamlessly and like write the character still mm-hmm. without sort of losing the voice, because I think that would be the biggest fear, is that yeah. you're writing mm-hmm. a character in this wonderful voice and then your fellow author may have a different voice for that character. And not that their voice is wrong, but it's just not going to flow right. well. And I just feel like right. you guys did it so seamlessly that I know you both very well and I can't tell who wrote which.
My mom couldn't even tell who wrote which, and she's been reading my writing my whole life. So
no way, really?
I think the other thing wow. too is Jean and I just, we got along really well together while we wrote it. We never That's argued over say. Anything or fought over anything. If we were going to change a major plot point, we would just talk about it and decide on where we wanted to go. So I think being on the same proverbial page through the whole process was helpful.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I really wanted to do one thing and she really wanted to do another. So it was, you know, a push and pull kind of thing.
Well, and it didn't seem like either of you got your feelings hurt either.
No.
Yeah. No, that's good.
No, because, well, because you know what? We absolutely were on that same page right from the start. And we both, when we talked about it at the beginning, we really weren't sure where it was going to go or how it was going to go. So we just kind of like, I kind of used the Thelma and Louise analogy, where we just kind of got in the car and drove off the cliff together because we weren't sure in the beginning, but just the process that we had of, I write a little, you write a little. And we just kept feeding off of each other so much that it, you know, before you know it, it just kind of took on a momentum of its own. And yeah, you're right. There was no conflict. If something didn't work, we just talked about it and then we made it work.
I love that. I love it a lot.
It was just a fun process to see because we have a group chat like for the podcast and you guys would tell each other like, oh, I just sent it back to you and I did X, Y, and Z or like I did this. And it was just so like, do you feel like that it kept you on schedule better? Like you weren't behind because instead of just you having to be on your own calendar, like you had somebody else depending on that?
Definitely for me. Yeah.
Yeah, for me too. I couldn't procrastinate the way I normally do.
That's what I was thinking. Cause I know sometimes you're like, oh, I really like, I have to finish this shit today.
Yeah.
Like,
12,000 words I have to bust out today.
Today. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was much easier when someone else is waiting on you. And we did have a few instances where I think I was the only one that ever ran behind. Jean never did. But yeah, I had a few instances of, well, because I was coming out to California and looking for jobs at the time, yada, yada. Right. So I think I ran behind a few times. But we always, I don't know, we turned it in even, I think, a week early.
No, it was 2 days early.
Oh, we got it back to the editor 2 days. A week early.
2 days is like a week, though, on a deadline. Yeah. So I have a question for you guys. Like, obviously, we've talked a little bit about, you know, how you come up with ideas. Like, we do that as authors and in people. We want to know how people come up with their ideas. So I know, Jackie, you said you've always wanted to write, like, a Shadowhunter thing. So when you guys were plotting this out, like, what did you do to plot it out? Did you have just, like, a giant board where you're like, boom, boom, boom? Or were you like, it kind of, did it flow organically? Were there ways, you know, let me know. Tell me.
Jean, you want to answer that one?
We had a legal pad. We only ever sat together face to face once. We were in Starbucks with a legal pad, between gossiping about other stuff. We'd get back to what we were doing. And I think I remember the legal pad plotted us out to chapter 14. And then after that, we go, all right, we got enough. Let's go drink. And then we went to the brewery. So we only actually had a structure to chapter 14. And then the rest of it, we just flew with it after that.
Yeah, and we changed it a few times. Because, you know, Aaron, as you're writing, you're like, oh, that's going to be a plot hole. We need to figure something else out earlier or change something around. But I think we're kind of pantsers the whole way through, so I'm like that anyway, so it worked well for me. It would be hard to write with someone that has to have the whole thing plotted out because things change. Characters' voices kind of change, their intentions change. Morgan actually became a much bigger character than I think either of us had anticipated. So as Morgan became a bigger character, her attitude and dynamic kind of shifted the book a little bit too, because when we had originally started, and when you read the beginning of the book, Morgan's actually a bit standoffish and kind of reserved. And once her character really comes into the story, you can see that she's not what we had originally intended her to be. So it changed.
That's cool. I mean, that's cool, though. That just shows great character growth. You know, I mean, regardless if you didn't intend for it to happen that way, I think it shows a really, really good way that a character can develop even without you meaning for it to happen that way.
We also had a lot of bad guys.
Yeah.
There's four bad guys in this story.
It's a lot of villains.
Mm-hmm. But it makes sense given like the
time
frame. Genre and the time frame and stuff. Did you guys find that you were like ever super surprised by what you got back from the other person?
Couple times, yeah.
Because I would imagine there's a weird element of surprise, like you didn't write it.
I love that.
I don't remember, but I specifically what you wrote now because it's all kind of a big blur. But I do remember like a couple times getting it back and going, oh my god, yeah, that's so cool. And then just reading that last thing that you wrote. brought brand new ideas to me. And then I just went with it from that point. But I can't think of anything specific. However, I will say that after I wrote the scene with Athena, I'm like, she's gonna tell me to delete this. She is not gonna want Athena in this for even the short thing that the short time that she's in it. So when you didn't have a problem with it, I'm like, that surprised me.
The only thing that surprised me, who doesn't love a Greek goddess? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Athena being here was fine. The only thing, and it made sense that Morgan Le Fay would know her. Like, it was just pushing kind of the boundaries of like these other realms and this kind of world that we created. When you actually wrote the Athena part, I was like, oh, you're opening up to so many different sub stories that could grow out of here. It was the only one time that surprised me was when I got it back and Sarah and Ayatunde had sex. I wasn't expecting...
Spoiler!
I wasn't expecting that. And I was like, oh shit, Jean! So that was...
Writing some Puritan sex was pretty interesting, I have to say.
Yeah, that caught me a little off guard.
I love that.
How did you do your research, Jean, for writing in the Puritan speak?
Well, I'm a high school English teacher, so I have taught The Crucible and The Scarlet Letter many times. You know, I've read them many times, and I love the Puritan era. I love Nathaniel Hawthorne. Sure. Even though Nathaniel Hawthorne was around in the mid-1800s, he loved the Puritan era and would always write in that. And just like the literature from the Puritan era, like that sermon from Reverend Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, man, they would just use religion to scare the fuck out of everybody. And I just think that whole, you know, the whole time period is so fucked up and crazy that it just really fascinates me. So I've read a lot of writing that centers around that. So that, you know, and then I had to do just a little bit of extra research for the other things that we brought up.
I will say this, there was actually more Puritan speak in it. The editor made us take it out, or made Jean take it out, because she was worried it wouldn't make sense to people. So it's actually, if anyone is a purist as far as dialogue of the Puritan era, Jean was asked to change it to, I don't want to say dumb it down, but simplify it so that if you weren't familiar with how that linguistically like flows, that you can still understand what was being said. I was proud of Jean, though. Our editor asked us to actually take out some of the French words that Morgan Le Fay uses so that readers knew what she was saying. And Jean refused because it was just so Morgan. So she was like, people can look it up.
Yeah.
And you should, because she's cussing at them.
I love it. That's awesome.
I love that. So like when you guys turned in your proposal, I don't know if anybody here listens to us talk about like our proposals and like the process of like what happens for a Bold Strokes author. Like you turn in a proposal and then they yay or nay it, or you know, we'll send back a lot of questions and things like that. So like your proposal, once you signed on the dotted line, like did it change a lot from what that was to what it became? Or did you kind of like stick to your guns? Did you change things because you just are the author and are allowed to have that power? Or
I don't remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jean, but I don't remember Sandy saying we needed a lot of changes.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. Our proposal had to be pretty vague.
Yeah.
Because when we submitted that proposal, you and I really did not know where we were going to go with this story. That's holy. So the proposal was probably vague, and Sandy was probably like, oh, these two fuckers. All right, whatever. Just we'll deal with it later when we actually get a manuscript.
But, I love it. Yeah. Was it weird working with a different editor? Because I know the editor you worked with was not your normal editor.
It was definitely something I had to get used to, because I'd been working with the same one for the last, you know, 4 years, and their styles are very different. So yeah, it took me a minute to get used to it.
It was very different, but we were fortunate that we got Barbara. Barbara Ann Wright, who's been on the podcast, because this is the genre she writes in. So mm-hmm. she had mm-hmm. a lot of good feedback about the story elements also, which my editor is fantastic. Vic does a great job. But it was nice to have someone that this is their like main focus, because she brought up right. a few things that I don't know we hadn't thought of when we were reading it. So, or writing it, I mean.
Right.
So I awesome. Thought it was a good experience overall.
Do you guys That's write awesome. The blurb yeah, on too. The back, yeah. the description? Mm-hmm. Did you write it together or did one of you write it?
Jean wrote most of the blurb. I suck at blurbs. Well, and Spellbound's like... complex. Like there's so many yeah. things going on. We really struggled with what to include. Because you have a word limit.
Right.
And right. there because there are four villains and four main characters and pretty strong supporting characters, it was really hard to like whittle down the storyline to 100 or whatever it is, 150 words. Jean is yeah. succinct and awesome at it though, so she's like, I'll do it. I was like, thank God, because
well, you started me off, because I like I'll stare at a blank word file for hours. Just trying to get started. But then once like you gave me like a little half a thing, and then I was able to kind of just stretch it out and make it work to the 150.
So give us like a 5-sentence, like what's the story about for people that haven't read the back?
You do it, Jackie.
Okay.
Improv blurb.
Because I'm so good no at spoilers, it, which I just reiterated. Yeah. So essentially, there are different realms that exist on this plane that not everyone is aware of. Sarah Hutchison Cooper, who was an accused witch in Salem in 1692, manages to escape to present day. Because she's tethered to a descendant of hers, a great niece several times over, who doesn't realize she's a witch. And she does this, and when she does it, it causes a major shift in the realms, and some bad guys follow her through the portal. Morgan Le Fay, who's the queen of the witches, feels the shift and sends her shadow hunter to go kind of deal with it, who is tethered to her for all life because of a bargain Virginia Dare had actually made, who, if you're not familiar with American history, is the first child, English child of Roanoke. And their main objective is to kind of get the bad guys back to 1692 before they completely dismantle present day. But the main bad guy is actually like the evil equivalent to Morgan Le Fay, and he's actually ends up being kind of like behind all of it. So they have to kind of rid the realms. If Blaze ends up winning, white magic will be completely snuffed out, and there has to be balance between white and black magic
for the world like to survive. Star Wars! See, that was
it's
perfect.
It's
that was
the good. Quintessential battle between good and evil.
Yes,
it is.
Darth we Vader. We just have hot witches in ours, not cute little baby Yodas and stormtroopers.
You're so cute.
Did you guys have a playlist? Like,
do you guys
books?
Feel like there was? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Go.
Oh no, I didn't hear you. Go for it.
I was just saying, I know with other books, you guys have done a playlist of like music that you've listened to while writing. Did you guys do that for this one? And where could people find it?
Yes. And it will be released tomorrow on the Fierce Femme Media website, or not website, but our Facebook page.
I already released it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I created one.
Why would you create our playlist that we listened to while writing it?
Well, because you sent it to me.
Oh, I made one on iTunes Music, too, and released
no,
it.
No. I'm not making that. I was, like, putting it together a nice little, cut this part out.
I'm not cutting it out.
A songs that you think about when you read this book.
We'll re-release it tomorrow. So, because it's out now, you can listen to it while it's, and we also made a trailer for it, too. So, we'll put those out again.
Yeah. I want to hear.
Yeah, trailer's cool.
What Erin thinks about when she thinks about what you two thought about when you wrote this book.
Oh my God, what?
what was that?
We're getting meta.
What, like, what did I think that no, they were
I'm
thinking?
Just joking around about your playlist.
Oh, I was like, oh my God, I'm sweating. I don't know how to answer this question. No, to be quite honest, though, just to say something, like, if I did not know Jackie and Jean, I still would have picked this book up because I really love things that are outside the box. I think it's fun. I think it's exciting. And I love lesfic writers that are able to make new and different things and are constantly writing the same romance, just inputting different characters or different workplaces. You know, I love that idea. So
I do too.
I definitely was super excited to pick this up and read it. Like, I would have picked it up even if I wasn't a published author and I wasn't part of Bold Strokes. I would have picked it up and I would have read right through it. Now, that being said, because I know Jackie and Jean so well, I've literally had so much fun reading this because I can hear them both at different times, and it's fun and it's exciting, and it's something that I know I say this sometimes about books, which, you know, like this, you know, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, like, obviously, like, I want to see that as a movie. I would love to see this as a movie. I think it would be exciting. I think it would be fun. I think Jackie does a great job of world building, but Jean does as well. So this world that was created has been something that I like. I want to see. I want to see it. I want to travel to it. I want to see it. So I'm just, like, super excited about it. I think it's a really, really, really great. It's like a great departure from the norm, but it still keeps this center of believability that I think is very hard to do in this sort of genre. And this is believable. I mean, I don't know if partly because it's historical fiction or if it's, you know, just overall because you guys are just such great authors or what, but I just feel very honored to be like, to like know you guys. Cause I'm like super excited about this. Super, super excited. I love you guys. And
we
were actually just
talking about, if we're going to do sequels to the book, and one of the ideas was a Morgan Le Fay prequel, and we were going to name it The Seven Wives of Morgan Le Fay.
Oh, that's hilarious. I can't even tell you guys how excited I was that she was going to be, like, when you told me, like, the idea for the book, because I love Morgan Le Fay a lot, because there's just something when you're a female that is confident and smart and whatever.
Are we talking about me?
You empathize with characters like that, right? Like, I should preface this by saying I read The Mists of Avalon when I was in, like, I don't know, middle school, high school, or whatever. And I know, right? That's so on brand. And that character just resonates with me so much. The, like, in every other story, she's the villain, but is she really a villain, or is she just villainized because she's smart and independent and, you know, whatever? And so I love her as a character so much, just in general, when I heard that you guys were putting her in there, I was just beyond excited.
I really love her, though. If they're looking for historical accuracy of Morgan Le Fay, you won't find it here. Like, it's not.
We took lots of creative liberties.
Yes. Everybody does.
Yeah, it was not the whole, we don't tell the traditional Morgan Le Fay backstory of, like, being part of King Arthur's court. So don't be disappointed. But we also don't go into that much background of Morgan in this story. So.
No, but I'm just saying, it's the idea of the character, right? It's the traditional, yes, like, villainized woman. Yep. Who is powerful and, you know, fuck that. No, that can be
powerful,
cool too.
Powerful and jealous. I always feel like Morgan Le Fay is always written as jealous of everyone else and everyone else's. But this Morgan was not.
Everything's spite.
Right, yeah. Like, I played her in Connecticut, Yankee in King Arthur's Court. I loved her then. And now I'm, like, even more in love with her after reading this rendition of her. Like, I feel like you've written her to make her cooler and better and just more fun.
I think the idea behind Morgan, and Jean, you can correct me if I'm wrong again, what we both kind of envisioned for her when we wrote her was what would your attitude be like if you had just been around for 3,000 years? Like, you're just kind of...
Fuck.
You have zero fucks, zero. Like, you gave those up several thousand years ago. You're kind of annoyed that you have to participate in such, like, bullshit to get involved. Because you're just above it. You're above it.
Yeah.
But she tries really hard, I think, to pretend like she doesn't care about anyone, but she can't help her humanity taking over sometimes. So. Right.
What a prison that is to be trapped in, too.
I kind of looked at Morgan as the middle-aged shift manager at a Burger King to work with teenagers.
That's so specific.
That's
I am dead.
That is the level of patience that she has left with humanity. Because human beings are dumb fuckers, and she is just sick and tired of trying to lead us in the right direction, and we just don't fucking get it.
That is such a mood.
Love that description. Not for her, I am dead. That is perfect. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm fucking
dead. Love it. So I don't know what's going to be in store for Morgan here in the future, but if we write a sequel, she'll definitely be coming back.
She's going to come back.
According to the reviews, I think numerous people would be thrilled with some sort of sequel or prequel.
Well, we left him open for both.
Yes.
Can we dream? Yeah. Can you guys dream cast this movie, or do you think it's book is a movie, or do you think it's too soon? Do you want people to read it first?
I'm thinking. Aaron says movie. I want to see like Netflix series.
Ooh, like limit. Yeah. Like 10 episode
series.
I would too.
Let's fucking do this. I'd watch the fuck out of that.
Oh, I'd be in it.
You gonna play Morgan?
I'm
going to play Morgan. What the fuck?
Well, you're both, if they're going to have to read for the part, and Jackie and I will have to decide.
I can give a real good bitch face.
I can't. It's all you. All right, Stacey wins.
Whoever could do the arched eyebrow gets to play her. Who could do it?
Oh, look at Stacey.
Her eyebrow sculpted to an arch. That's unfair.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. That's what my eyebrows say.
Jessica.
So, besides that, what's everyone looking forward to in 2020?
A new president, please.
Please. Yay.
Please, God, please.
Okay, is that everybody's standard? Because then we could break into individual ones.
Yeah,
because I think that's everybody, like, here on the podcast. All right, get back to me, guys. Somebody else go. I gotta put some brain power into this.
I'm really looking forward to... to be quite honest, like, do these personal, or like, what are we looking forward to? Like, exciting, or like,
whatever you want it to be.
Like, to be very honest, I'm looking forward to one of my New Year's resolutions is to let things go. Like, I hold on to things.
About fucking time, Aaron.
You know what? Fuck you. I mean, you're right, but whatever.
We can we slow clap now?
Jackie's always fucking.
Let it go.
Please sing that to me every day. Like, I'm just, I don't know if it's just like my nature, probably, but like, I hold on to things and people and just toxic shit for way too fucking long. So my New Year's resolution is to just let it the fuck go and to take a page out of Jean's book and give no fucks. Like, I'm just...
Work them off.
I'm going to flick those fucks right off my shoulder, and I'm going to let myself heal and actually not rip the Band-Aid off of any sort of wounds that I've encountered over the last couple of years. So
we should make Aaron create a fuck jar, like other people have swear jars. And every time she starts to care about a fuck, she has to put like a dollar in it.
I like that idea.
And then
literally, Aaron, you will be...
Well, that will make you some care.
Fuck jar sounds really gross, though.
Fuck jar.
Like a spank bank.
Kind of does. Put it in the fuck jar.
All right.
No, yeah. What I could do is, like, every time that happens, I could write on a piece of paper what I'm actually giving a fuck about. I put it in the jar, and then I'm done. I don't give a fuck about it.
Nope, you got to Venmo one of us a dollar.
You know, fuck that. You got to keep it in a separate account for me to cash out at the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I'm sure every time Gail sees Venmo coming out of the bank, a dollar, she'll be like, what the fuck are all these dollars? Like, Gail, I'm giving too many fucks, all right?
Well, then you'll see how many you're actually uselessly caring about. You have to decide, is it worth a dollar?
I probably. Let's make it $10. Okay. No.
All right. The truth is, when you actually have to put a monetary value on your fucks, you will see that there are almost none that are worth it. Almost none.
I like the way you think, Jean Copeland.
Every time you give a fuck about something that you're not supposed to, you have to give up a fast pass for Flight of Passage.
That is doable. I don't want to give any fucks ever again.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Good call. Good call. All right. No more fucks shall be given in the house of Zach. And I feel very good about it. Right now, I feel great about it. If I start going through fuck withdrawals, that sounds weird. in the next, you know, couple of weeks, I'll let you guys know.
Okay. Yeah. Please keep us abreast.
Fuck withdrawals. Of it.
Keep you abreast of my fuck jar and your fuck withdrawals.
Oh, well, no. Like, we know about all the little fucks.
Right. Because, you know, I just, like, break down, right? Like, I just break down. I'm like, you guys, I have to say this. And, you know, my first sentence is going to be, I know I said this was a New Year's resolution.
But. And then the big but comes in.
And then it's, like, a scroll-worthy text. It's like the one with the little carrot where it has to go to a separate page where it's like.
Every time you send us something that's not fuck worthy, we're going to cut a day off you being allowed to drink with Gene and I at GCLS or Provincetown. You have to give up a drinking day.
What the fuck? Because
we can hold you accountable for that.
Don't you dare, Aaron, Zach. Don't you dare.
That's horrible. I don't know. That's
horrible. And you know what? We will all have to suffer, not just you. So now you have made it my business.
Yeah, because a sober Aaron is not fun to hang out with.
Well, let us know one day and we'll see.
Oh, you got zacked.
I did. Oh, man. All right. All right. Okay. Done.
Stacy,
you're on.
It's settled. All right.
Stacy?
Jackie, how about you? Your brand new life in CA. What's going on in 2020?
Oh, man. Our house closes on February 10th, so we'll be moving. Yeah. Started a new job like 2 months ago, so that's still going pretty well. I'll be sad to leave Stacey's house.
Yeah, it's going to be real sad.
It's going to be like real sad.
Monica and Rachel, it's the end of an era.
Stace, are you going to try to keep Lincoln?
Yeah, I'm going to hide him. They won't notice. There's so many farm animals around here. He'll just fit right in. He'll be okay.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to Lex and I. I sold my house when we got together, and then we lived in her house together. So I'm looking forward to having, like, our own house and picking our own furniture together and, like, doing that kind of thing that we haven't been able to do. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to Lincoln this year. He learned so much. I was telling them before we got on the podcast, he just learned to say, I love you today. So that's really exciting. Yeah. So
happy new year.
Yeah. Of course the new president, obviously. I'm looking forward to writing the book with, Aaron and Jean that we're going to be working on this year. That's going to be fun. Elimination, actually, it's now available on NetGalley if anyone wants to read it for free. But the final installment of my first series that I ever wrote is coming to an end. So, yeah, it's gonna be a good year. I'm excited about it. I'm turning 39, which is brutal.
How rude.
Yeah. How did that happen?
You know what? I'm turning 40. Not to take anything away from you, but Jesus H. Oh,
I'm going to not talk.
And then in May, we're going to Cabo. There's 16 of us going, which is going to be super fun. I get to see you guys at GCLS and at Provincetown. Then you're coming out to California. It's going to be 2020 is going to be a great year.
Woo-hoo! I think you're right.
It's going to be a great year. It's a good way to start the decade.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What about you, Stace?
I feel like every time I look back on, like, you know, on Facebook, it tells you, like, on this day. Every time I look back at, like, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I'm like, these are my resolutions. And it's always like corny stuff that doesn't stick. So I decided instead, I like to reflect back on the year instead of looking forward. So I'm like, okay, I look at like 2019 and like all the cool stuff we did in 2019 instead of trying to project onto 2020. So I'm like, okay, like what did we do? We had successful baby animals on the farm. We, like, tripled our savings, which was huge because we had, like, a really hard year with property taxes. It was really ridiculous. So we were able to put money into savings, and everybody's healthy, and my kids are happy, and that's really important to me. So I feel like it does better for me to reflect back and then, like, be happy going forward instead of looking, like, I looked at it, like, on this day, like, 3 years ago, and I was like, I'm going to eat paleo and try to do keto, and I was like, that lasted like a week. I'm not trying to set myself up for failure this time, so that just worked better for me to reflect instead of look forward.
That's awesome though. I like that idea. Yeah. That's really like kind of like encouraging and uplifting. I like that.
Totally.
Whoop, whoop. Stacey, did you ever tell us what you were doing, or is it just a new president?
No, I never went.
Go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I like the idea of the things I'm looking forward to in the new year instead of, like, the shit I'm going to say I'm going to do and I'm not to be a better person and then I don't do it. So I think I'm just looking forward to, like, I was dealing with a lot of anxiety this year. So, like, getting that under control and being able to function more like a human being again. So that's exciting. And then just like doing more stuff, like when you're sort of under the like oppressive thumb of anxiety, there's lots of things that you like self-select and don't do. And so there's a lot of things I feel like I missed out on this past year that I'm going to try to not miss out on, in the coming year. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. And I'm just really excited about, or not excited, but like looking forward to, just, I feel like there's certain things that you're able to just have a clean slate on, like once January hits. So I kind of like that little bit of reset, and even the stupid shit that's like the I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to do that. Like, I really do feel like it's a good sort of jump start for people that need it. So I'm going to take advantage of that and try to be slightly healthier, just in general, and do things like physically that make me happy and stuff, and figure out ways to work around my stupid foot that doesn't work. I don't know.
It's going to be a good year. Yeah.
What about I guess I'm not excited. I'm excited for more Baby Yoda also.
Fuck yeah. Let's talk about Baby. Oh, wait.
No,
we have to decide.
Hold on. Gene has to go still. Relax.
I was just going to say we have to just decide about a Star Wars day. Yeah. That's it. Gene, go, please.
Oh. All right. Everything you guys said sounds really good, so I'm gonna go with that and continue to be best, to live a fuck-free life, and to stretch my abilities,
vagina,
to the horizon. No, not my vagina. We don't need to stretch that.
No.
Yeah, and so, you know, just be happy and positive and try not to hate people so much.
Oh, that's a hard one.
That's a rough one.
You know, check back with me next month and you'll see.
Right? Yeah. I'll check back with you when you go back to work. Team.
Right?
Yeah, that's a real hard one.
I will say that, like, we had a little bit of a love fest this morning, but honestly, like, for real, like, having you guys in my life has made such a big difference this year. Like, that's been the biggest like change I think this year is, I mean, like obviously a Jackie and Stacy in my life already. I called you my Stacy.
I like that.
But like Gene and Aaron, like you guys coming into our crew and like being such a huge part of my lives now, like my lives. Oh my God. Someone else.
She's getting emotional. my brain. You know, when Stacy's grammar's gone, she's getting emotional.
All my brain power is going to shedding my uterine lining. But I just like, it's made the biggest difference in my life this year, I think. So.
Aww. I agree love with you. That 100% because you guys have been such a part of almost every part of my day. Like,
yep.
I think about like this happened. I gotta tell them. Like, I can't wait till our nights when we record. And I'm making very
friends with an adult is not easy.
It's not easy.
I've made like two best friends this year. Like, it's crazy.
It's really crazy. Like, and you know, we moved down to Florida. And I don't think either one of us, like Gail or myself, have a lot of like friends that we go hang out with. Like, we both have busy, busy lives, and you know, to come home after work, that's what you want to do. You don't really want to go out and drink when you're gonna be fucking 40 years old. So, like,
Aaron's dealing just with to it. Know you
guys, just wait till February. So yeah, I mean, just like having you guys around and like just being able to know that you're supportive and you're funny and you will burn me and love me at the same time is maybe the best gift I've been given in quite some time. So
it's out of
thank
love,
you.
Aaron.
But I love that. I love that. That's part of what keeps me going every day. So I love you guys.
Oh, I love you guys. Too. I love all of you.
Me too.
Yay.
Aww. Okay, well, we'll end on that note.
Too emotional for Jack.
Uncomfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Fuck Gar.
I know we're not talking about it tonight, but what's the droid? The new one?
Dio?
Yeah.
Dio.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Happy 2020, everybody, and we will catch you next week where I'm sure Trump will do something between now and then. So,
yeah, plenty.
Guaranteed.
And go get Spellbound.
Happy New Year.
Go get Spellbound.
Spellbound.
And as a matter of fact, if you email me proof that you purchased Spellbound, I will send you an e-copy of either one of my books or one of Jean's books. We'll let you pick one. So we're going to do this for the next, how long you want to do it for, Jean? A week?
Yeah.
Okay. So until next Friday, email me proof of purchase of Spellbound and we will send you a free book from me or Jean also. So you get a twofer.
Yeah, woo-hoo! Baby.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Good deal.
Bold Strokes Books web store.
Yep, and then on the 15th of January, it'll be available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and any other place you purchase books. But until then, go to Bold Strokes' website and purchase it. And then I'll come back and talk to you after that about elimination, and we'll do another giveaway. So,
woohoo!
Yeah.
Have a great 2020, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. This is 2020.